Blog Talk Radio.
Isolation, book 9 now released in her Faye Longchamp series, so we're excited to be able to be again one of her tour stops on her tour with Partners in Crime Tours.net as she embarks on this latest journey now in her 9th release of her book called Isolation in her series. So we are pleased to be able to talk with Marianna. So Marianna, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Again, so now we're into book 9, so you have quite a long series that you're now embarking on. Faye Longchamp is your character. She's an archaeologist, and now you've thrown her into some other new kind of situation. So let everybody a little bit know about Isolation and about maybe the series in general.
Sure. Well, Isolation, as you said, is the 9th book, and I have elected to keep this book, this series, fresh for me by aging her more or less in real time. So when in the first book, Artifacts, she's 34 years old, single, no money, needs to go back to school, no love in her life, all a blank slate. Over the course of the 9 books, she has gone back to school. She's gotten a PhD. She's started a business. She's dated men who were wrong for her. She found the right man. She's had a couple of children. And at the outset of Isolation, she has suffered a terrible tragedy in that they have miscarried their child. So she's physically in bad shape from having that physical trauma, but also mentally and emotionally not the sharp, razor sharp, ready for everything Faye that we've come to know and love. And Joe, who is her partner and husband, is worried about her, as anyone would be. And so she is not acting rationally. And then while all this is happening, one of their dear friends is murdered. And they live on an island, so the word isolation is real, and so they're isolated in a really bad place.
Gotcha. So
yeah.
when you're going now into book 9 and you kind of look back at how the series began with the book Artifacts, how has Faye, maybe emotionally, more or less, but when somebody reads her from Artifacts and then reads now the 9th book, how do you feel that she's been able to change? And is there a book specifically that you think maybe took her to another level that, the things maybe started changing around in her world that kind of is like that tangent book that kind of pushes her into a different direction?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, Faye, since she was so alone at first book, she looked inward. She had a lot of personal problems, a lot of financial problems, and she had no one to share them with, and that causes things to fester, really, And so Artifacts, the first book, is a turning point in that she meets Joe, who is her complement. He is where she's very rational, very scientific, very logical, very, very, very intelligent in a bookish kind of way. Joe is spiritual. He is of Native American descent. He practices the historical ways, and he is the one that reminds her that the life is not always in the mind. And so meeting Joe was the first turning point. Learning that Joe was the man for her, which happened several books further on, but I won't tell you which one, was another turning point. And then since then, their life together, she's mellowed. She respects his not academic intelligence. She respects the fact that she might need help making a big decision now and then. And I think this is a process that we all go through as we mature. And then, of course, when their child is born, and that was in the sixth book, Strangers, that was a huge watershed for her, as it is for anybody who becomes a parent.
Gotcha. And that's very, you know, like I said, the emotionally driven parts of books is what keeps the series kind of alive. And when you're going through book nine, she's had to be put through so many kind of different ringers. Do you ever feel bad? Do you ever feel bad that you do this?
Yeah. It's like I'm working on the plot for the next book now, and it's like, well, how am I going to make Faye feel bad now? But one thing that has been good with this series that I think is a problem for mystery writers who write a long series is that she's an archaeologist, so she's out looking for things. She's out digging up things. Part of her job is finding dead bodies. So it's not quite, I don't quite have to explain why an interior decorator is solving her ninth murder. That has been, and that, you know, I was very naive when I started this series. I was not sure I could finish the first book, so a series was not in my head. And I've been really grateful to have a character who can stand up under nine books and still have more to say. She's a very complex character. We learn in Artifacts that she is biracial. She is descended from slaves, but to add another layer of complication, she's also descended from the people who owned the slaves. And she has inherited the plantation house where her people were enslaved and no money to take care of it. And that is the central problem at the heart of Artifacts, is if she loses this house and this island and the land that was her family's, she loses all the history and all the things that she's proud of, that her her ancestors survived. And so she was a deep character to begin with. She had complexity at her heart to begin with. And so she's my muse. You know, she sits on my shoulder and tells stories in my ear. I have ideas for several more Faye books. I don't have any notion of ending the series because she's still growing and the stories, I still feel fresh.
And now, when you're running a professional series like this, because archaeology is in the forefront, and it's not just, you know, it's just not a cop or it's just something different, but it's a professional person,
right,
you know, kind of like the legal thrillers and the medical thrillers, how much of it do you have to maybe dumb down for people who don't really understand what archaeology is and all the and all the terminology and the things that go along with it, besides, of course, people, I guess, would say the famous archaeologists that they know of is Indiana Jones, but we know that that's not true. And then,
right.
So how do you handle that? How do you balance that out in your books?
I do a lot of research, first of all, because I'm not an archaeologist. I'm actually...
That's an interesting point. You're not an archaeologist,
right,
writing about one. That's a little different.
It is. It is. I've enjoyed it, and I've gotten good feedback from archaeologists that I'm doing pretty well at getting it right within the bounds of fiction. I did the first book, Artifacts, got the Florida Historical Society's annual award. So the historians and archaeologists feel like I'm doing okay. But I have to do a lot of research. And then I think maybe that makes it easier for me to communicate it to non-archaeologists because I'm not one. And so it's very important not to slow down the story or bog things down with too much detail. And then that's when the art comes in. How do you explain what's going on without stopping the action dead? It helps me when I talk to archaeologists that my background is in the sciences. My bachelor's is in engineering physics and my master's is in chemical engineering. So when I call up an archaeologist and ask them to explain the thermoluminescence technique they use in the laboratory, at least I can talk their language. But then it's my job to take their language and put it into something that is understandable to the layperson and artful. And I enjoy that. I do.
Nice. That's a very interesting angle. I like the fact that you went out and not only went out on a limb to write a book, I mean, that's hard enough to do, but you went out on a limb and decided to write about not really a subject. I mean, yeah, I guess a subject, and create a character that you were interested in, but not one that you worked in. And so you
right.
got to kind of let us know. You got to let us know how that came about. Why did you make Faye an archaeologist aside from something else?
Well, first of all, people think engineers are boring, so I didn't write about us. But they're wrong about that. And when you get to the fifth book, Floodgates, you'll find some very interesting engineers in that one. I was very happy to be able to do that. But the decision to write about archaeology sort of came to me. I wasn't thinking, well, what profession will my protagonist be? I was driving down the highway thinking, well, I want to write a book. What's the scenario? And actually the first thing that came to my mind was the plantation house where she lives. I could just see this dilapidated old house out in the woods, abandoned. And I thought, what a cool place to set a book. So when I'm plotting, I ask myself questions and I say, well, who would live here? And I thought, you know, you have to, when you're dealing with a product of slave labor, you have to acknowledge that. And for the 21st century, I thought, you know, Gone with the Wind has already been done, and it's not the book for the 21st century. The book set in a plantation house for now would acknowledge the past, and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if the person who owned it was descended from the slaves who built it? So then you just take that problem and face it head on. So that's how I got Faye. And then I thought very quickly to say, remember, I'm still driving down the highway thinking about this stuff. She.
I don't always sit in the bathroom and think about stuff, so. You know,
I plotted my first two books on I-10 driving across the panhandle of Florida. But, you know, once I had Faye and I decided it would be really, really interesting if she was also descended from the masters, which would give her an internal conflict that would never go away, I knew I had something there. And when I realized that a character like that would not have inherited money, I had a person with a problem, an interesting person with a problem. But see, there's still no archaeology there, and there's still not even a mystery. I just have a character and a setting. So I thought about how that character would get the money to pay the taxes on this relic. And I thought, well, the only thing of value that she would have inherited other than the house would be the artifacts buried on the island around the house. And they would be hers, and she would feel perfectly ethically okay about digging them up and selling them on the black market. So that gave me a character with a little edge and someone who had something to lose. So when I realized that it would be perfectly plausible for her to dig up a skeleton one day and not be able to do anything about it because she's out there doing something illegal, then I knew I had a character with an untenable problem. But I still didn't know it was a mystery because that dead body could be historical. That could be a Native American or, a conquistador. So really the moment when I knew I was writing a mystery about an amateur archaeologist is when I imagined an earring by next to the skull and it pictured it like a 1960s screwback Jackie Kennedy kind of earring. So then I knew that it was a murder because it wasn't old enough to be an archaeological find and there was no reason for it to be on this island otherwise. So that's how I got the archaeology, and then that led straight to the fact that I was writing mystery.
Huh. So now, again, I want to remind everybody here that we're speaking with author Marianna Evans. You can go to MariannaEvans.com for more information on this book called Isolation, the ninth book in the Faye Longchamp series, and, of course, all the other books that are included with the series and everything else, other books that you've written. But when people come up to you or people just now finding out about you like I have, because I'm going to have to admit, I had no idea about this series until Partners in Crime Tours, and you started working, and now we're working with them. So when people come up and then they start saying, wow, I had no idea that you had 9 books in the series, where do you suggest that they start? What journey? Does it make a difference? I know a lot of authors say they're all kind of standalones, but they can start at the beginning to kind of get the idea of how things kind of go. Where do you suggest people start with your series?
Well, I do. It's just what you said. I do write them to stand alone. And there have been a number of reviewers of this book in particular, since it is number 9, who have actually said in their review that it does stand alone. I haven't read anything else in the series, but it was okay. So I feel like I'm successfully pulling that off. If people, though, are interested in the character arc of what happens to this character who has lived a pretty interesting life, they could start at Artifacts and get the whole thread of how she got from penniless amateur archaeologist to not penniless business owner with a PhD. Because I'm telling short stories in the books and the long story of a life in the series. And that's, since I didn't know I was writing a series when I got started, that's been like an unexpected benefit of this experience.
Huh. Interesting. So I guess when readers go back and they start working themselves through the series and they haven't picked up this ninth book yet, what is one of the one thing that maybe will jump out to them on the page that's maybe a little different that you've done with this book than maybe you've done with the series? Because, again, a lot of authors that write series that are a little longer, you kind of have to want to challenge yourself every time to make sure, like you said, that the story stays fresh and that things still stay interesting to readers. So what's one of the one things that you think that's gonna, that should jump out to them on the page for readers that have read all eight books already?
I think it's, I have let Faye be more vulnerable in this one. She, it's not that she is invulnerable. It's not that she's superwoman, but she doesn't give up easily. She's a determined woman. She, it's hard to get her down. And so starting isolation immediately after a traumatic miscarriage of a much wanted baby, I've got Faye in a really dark place. And also she has never, her relationship with Joe has been solid ever since they were best friends, you know, 12 years ago. And it's not that the relationship, it's not that they're arguing, it's just that they're not talking. She can't, she doesn't have anything to say. You know, she's just that distraught. And so the fragility of the character in this book and the fragility of, well, fragility is not the right word because the relationship is still strong, but the stress on the relationship makes this one notable.
The other funny thing that we talked about right off the air before we came on is when you got involved in publishing, everything had already started really changing. And like you said, every book is kind of got publishing changes. It changes from book to book, and things are so different. So how do you kind of keep yourself, you know, fresh, whether it's from a marketing standpoint or whether it's, you know, just from a writing standpoint? Because everything is so different now from what it was, you know, when you originally started.
I try to, as far as the, I mean, what we're talking about, the marketing that has changed because everything's gone online, I try to keep my finger on the pulse of various listservs of other writers and forums and such. I don't have a lot of spare time, so I can't say that I really keep as on top of it as I would like, which is why things like this blog tour are wonderful, because I've got somebody helping me do that. But I have tried to remain open to new possibilities, which may be one benefit of, you know, I studied engineering a long time ago, and the languages that I studied are no longer used anymore, but I am open to changes and the benefits thereof, and I think maybe that has helped me. You know, I've watched my first book didn't come out in ebook for several years. They're all in ebook now. They're all in audio. Now they're in large print because it's cheaper to print short print runs, so I can have large print copies in libraries. There's not a lot of downside to the changes, other than it's very difficult to make yourself heard when you've got the whole world talking into the internet. You know, how do you get your voice heard? And that's an ongoing question that I'm still working on.
Yeah, I think that a lot of authors struggle with, you know, how to kind of get yourself above the fray and how to get more readers. And the one thing that you did mention that I find interesting, I do like to ask, well, what kind of authors are you following? Who are you kind of following and looking at right now? Like, who do you read?
Who do I read? I'm reading Carolyn Hart right this minute. I finished Hallie Efren yesterday. But I also read, I mean, I don't read just mystery. Among mystery authors, I really admire T.D. James and James Lee Burke and Tony Hillerman.
It seems like everybody says James Lee Burke. It's amazing. I hear that name constantly from major authors to John Conley to Doug Lyle, and everybody says James Lee Burke. And he never seems to get all the recognition that the man deserves. But, boy, he's a popular. Everybody loves Dave Robichaud.
Yeah, I think he's what people call a writer's writer. We all admire his prose and his style and the depth of his subject matter. And he's kept the quality up. He's been doing it a long time. And then I have the additional tie of being from Mississippi, and so his South Louisiana setting is very familiar to me. I worked offshore while I was in college, so I drove right through and worked among the people he writes about. So I appreciate that he gets that right, the sympathy that he communicates those characters with. But I also read, you know, right now I've started a new job as a professor at the University of Oklahoma. And so to their credit, they celebrate mystery fiction, and I'm actually teaching a graduate course in mystery fiction writing, which is wonderful. And so for that course, I'm going back to the classics, and so we read some Poe. We are going to read Agatha Christie next week. We're reading The Maltese Falcon this week. We read a newer author, like within the last 20 years, called Louis Bayard, who wrote a wonderful takeoff on Poe, a wonderful book, The Pale Blue Eye, which we just finished. And it's a good moment when you come to class on the day after they've all finished the book, and they're all excited about it, and they're saying, "We would have never read this book if you hadn't recommended it." It's just very rewarding, and I think I can see the influence of the great writers already coming out in their writing.
Had no idea you were a boomer sooner.
Yeah, well, as of last month, I am.
A boomer sooner,
a boomer sooner. So learning all the cheers, you know, I already had red clothing because I just graduated with my MFA from Rutgers, and my master's
from Ole Miss.
Oh, my
God, my dad went to Rutgers. My dad graduated from Rutgers.
Yeah, every time I bring up Rutgers or Oklahoma, somebody's got some connection, so they're everywhere. So I really enjoyed my MFA experience, where I studied literary fiction and really delved into people writing for the sheer beauty of it. And I have always tried to do that with my books. And I like to think that getting that extra training will help me do that even more.
Do you let your students read your work?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, I haven't assigned it, and I don't. I've only been there a month, but I would not dissuade them. They're welcome to. I mean, it's a free country, and they're out there for sale. But I wouldn't necessarily assign my work unless I had a particular reason. Like if I wanted to tell them how I solved a particular problem, the writing problem. And then gave them maybe one of my short stories and told them how it's not that I guess there's anything wrong with assigning my own work, but there's a whole world of stuff out there for them to read, and they have access to me day in and day out.
Yeah, I get that. Well, I'll tell you what, we got about a minute left here,
okay.
I want to be able to kind of let everybody, for you to kind of let everybody know your social medias, all the places they can find out about you. Maybe connect with you and just, you know, just stay in more contact with everything that you got going on. So I kind of leave the last minute up to you.
All right. Well, my name with the Mary Anna instead of Mary Ann is unusual enough where I'm pretty easy to find. My Twitter handle is @MaryAnnaEvans. My Facebook page is Mary Anna Evans, author of the Faye Longchamp Archaeological Mysteries. My website is www.MaryAnnaEvans.com. So I'm easy to find. And if people want to ask me questions directly, you can always do that through the social media. But on my website, there's a contact link where they can write me. And also on my website, there is an e-newsletter that you can sign up for. I send them out 3 or 4 times a year, let you know when there's a new book coming out. And I have contests. Sometimes people get their name in the next book because they're on my newsletter list. So go sign up and you win something.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what, Mary Anna, it has been a pleasure to speak with you. Wish you nothing but the best. And, of course, like you said, there will be a book 10 in the Faye Longchamp series. So people won't have to wonder if you're ever going to stop it. Like you said, you're going to keep it going until it just isn't going to go any further. So looking forward to seeing what you have coming out with book 10. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And keep it up. And thanks so much for coming on. Good luck with the rest of the tour. I know there's only a couple days left, but, hey, good luck, and can't wait to see what's happening with you later.
I appreciate being on the show. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a go, Mariana. Bye-bye.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
So again, everybody, that is author Mariana Evans. The book is called Isolation. That's the latest. That's book 9 in the Faye Longchamp series. You want to make sure that if you want to check out everything that she has going on and read about it, go to MarianaEvans.com to see all the books. Pick one up, you know, whichever one you think maybe the subject matter, pick one up, find a new author that you can dive right into with 9 books in the series and give you a lot of time because winter is coming and you're all going to be cold, except here in L.A., and you're all going to want to read because you're going to all be inside and it's going to be snowy, and Mariana's got 9 books for you that you need to start reading. So make sure you go check her out right now and see everything she's got going on. We want to thank everybody, of course, partnersincrimetours.net. We want to thank all you for listening, however, wherever, whenever you listen to the show. Everything is always online here at Blog Talk Radio /Suspense Magazine. And, of course, make sure that you check out SuspenseRadioNetwork.com. I will make sure I keep things more updated than how I have been lately and making sure that you have all the guests on the information you need. And so then, everybody, we are putting together our best of list now, starting to start doing that for Suspense Magazine. Comes out in December. So if you have any questions, you can always email us at editor@suspensemagazine.com. And, of course, until next time, we always have to say keep reading. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.